Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling. We're about a week away from finding out who's this year's winner at Eurovision. But before that, news, chat, fun, games, a little bit of a hangover cure, and some guitars. Yes, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Ewan Spence here with your Eurovision Insight Daily Chat from Dusseldorf. Thank you all very much for listening. Your comments are all much appreciated. Glad to hear there's at least five people out there who are not blood relations listening to this show. You can get in touch, www.escinsight.com, through Facebook, through Twitter, and all of that. And everybody, myself, Charlene, who's joining me.
Ah, good morning, Ewan.
We all have our personal Twitters and ways to reach us on the internet, as have all our guests and panel today. Four on the panel today. How many of you were decided to make that trip to Cologne? Two hands go in the air. How many decided to do no trip at all? That's one hand in the air. And how many decided to go back to the UK so they could do one lecture at their university? One. Luke. Welcome back, Luke. How long are you going to be in Germany this time?
Until Sunday.
Why until Sunday?
Because then I've got to go home and do some real exams.
It's a tough life, isn't it? I mean, would you trade it?
If I had to choose between doing the first week or the second week of Eurovision, I would choose to do the first week.
Why?
Because it's all the rehearsals, it's the running around, it's the drama. The second week just drags whilst you're waiting for dress rehearsals.
And of course you get to go home, watch how it's all coming over, certainly on BBC TV.
And yes, I will be Facebooking and tweeting when you all come out of the arena thinking, how on earth did Macedonia qualify? I will be telling you why.
It's because Vlatko looked down with his dark, deep blue eyes, like the sea after the storm on the morning of a rain as the dew. Elaine, calm down. We've got Elaine Dove as well. Elaine might have a little bit of a crush.
Just slightly. Oh, excuse me. And now a little bit more feminine. Just a little bit.
Just a little. What is it about Vlatko then?
Well, what's not to like?
Oh, that's easy.
He's rough. He's rugged. He's
Balkan.
He's big in the Balkans, I've heard.
He is quite big in the Balkans, yeah.
It's interesting because it's that star factor. We saw it in the rehearsals yesterday. There are some people who just step up yesterday, and not that the Macedonia stepped up to be a star yesterday. We had another act, Luke. We'll come to that in a second. And there are certain people here who have that aura of stars around them. It doesn't necessarily win them Eurovision, but it does win them a lot of fans around the world.
Yeah, and actually I hadn't heard the English version of this song, which he did at the Euroclub last night, and I thought it was fabulous. I loved it.
Okay, we also have a new addition to the panel who's not done any boring trips or done some jaunting around Germany. So John Stanton has been quite nicely behind the wire, pounding around the track.
Hi there, Ewan.
And it's right close into the microphone.
Hi there, Ewan.
That's
that
a nice, good, nice, solid hi there. John, where are you from?
I'm from Nottingham.
And which website?
Eurovisionary.com.
First timer on any of the podcasts from the inside.
It is, yes.
So we have a decision that we ask you to do it naked.
Well, can't you see I'm naked already?
I can, yes. And I have to say, big in the Balkans as well.
I'll stop crouching then.
Thank you very much. So, John, tell us very briefly about Eurovisionary then.
Eurovisionary is a pan-European website. It's run by our editor-in-chief, the lovely Charlotte, in Denmark. And then we have various editors. Thank you. Yeah.
All the other websites various, are going, oh, really,
yes,
really?
Various editors around Europe who give their own unique perspectives on what's going on.
And finally, we have our videographer, camera director-in-chief, Stephen Newby.
Golden dog.
Doing well with the videos. We've now got highlights in both the semi-finals, but there was a lovely moment yesterday we caught on camera. We just had to rush out, wasn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. There was the Icelandic group, Sonny's Friends, who were doing a little impromptu rendition of about five or six different Eurovision classic tracks. Very, very, very good. The entire place was absolutely in arms and legs and whatever else flying about when they'd finished. They were very excited about the fact.
It was getting very close to the point where I think a lot of the press delegation, myself included, were, oh, we might cry here with the close-ups and the wife, and it's just such an emotional story. If even half of that comes out on stage in terms of the performance, it's going to lift them up to that other level, I think.
I think that's exactly right. They're obviously getting exposure. I'm not entirely sure how much of that is down to the backstory to the song, but the song itself is great. They're getting a lot of exposure out there. The press are loving them. That will convey. That will go across the media. They'll do very, very well.
And if anybody goes, oh, they only got through because Sonny died, well, Blitz didn't get through in the Latvian final. You know, death is not a surefire way to qualify for the Eurovision Song Contest.
Completely right, yeah.
Charlene, highlights from yesterday.
Yeah, look, I would say that Bosnia was a big highlight for me. It really stepped up in terms of the performance of the rehearsals.
And because certainly Dino's first rehearsal, the technical one, looked a little bit sloppy. It seemed to be disjointed and there wasn't much heart in it. But yesterday we just looked at the TV screens and...
I'm not sure whether they changed the camera angles or whatever, but it just seemed to have so much more energy on the stage.
And this is an important thing to count. For everything that we're seeing on the stage, it's... You know, we have a couple of votes in Germany because that's where we are on the telephone networks. It's what the people around Europe see on the television screens. And look, I think that's where you're going to have an advantage as a website editor, back watching what everybody else is watching, especially with Bosnia, for an example.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of being at home is you get the television feed. You get the television vocal, which is different to what's coming into the press centre. Ever so slightly, when we get home, it always sounds different to how we remember it sounding. And we're going to hear the levels, for example, you know, we're going to hear how flat Croatia is at home. We're going to hear every note she misses. We're going to hear every time Kati Wolf misses that note at the end of her thing. With Bosnia, I think it's just going to look really good. Really good. And at the Bosnian party last night, a lot of diaspora were there going mad for him.
And you were saying that the Bosnian party, there was that thing in the air where you're like, this is for Dino.
Oh, yeah, he is like a Balkan equivalent of Elton John. There is absolutely no doubt. He sells out over the continent. It doesn't matter whether he's in Bosnia, Croatia, Serbia, wherever. He sells out, and the place just went mental. When they got a glimpse of him, we'd had a couple of other guests on, but when they saw him, the whole diaspora in there just went insane.
Yeah, I think when we saw their second rehearsal yesterday, there appeared to be this sort of collective sigh of... That's what it's meant to look like in the press centre. And I don't know about anybody else, I was delighted to see Plinky Plonky Piano Girl back because she was missing in the first rehearsal.
Yeah, she was there at the party last night as well, doing some backing vocals this time, really singing, not just pretending to plinky plonk her way through.
I'm going home, I'm going to take piano lessons because I thought it was quite a technical thing, but apparently not, people.
Flail your arms up and down in time with the music, or is that the guide to being a drummer? What else did we see yesterday in the rehearsals? Because we did pretty much the last back half of semi-final one and the start of semi-final two.
Yeah.
Luke, what stuff did we have?
Yeah, so we closed from Iceland onwards, didn't we? So we went from Iceland, we had Hungary, we had Portugal and Belgium in one day. That was quite a treat for everyone. We saw the Dutch had toned down the yellow lighting. They're not as yellow anymore. They're sort of more white lighting in there. And we got as far up as Moldova.
And what was... Did anything catch right? Because we've said it's at the start of semi-final two, you have Dino that gives it a nice opening, but then it kind of saunters along a bit, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Bosnian song, I'll be honest. I agree with Luke, though. He's absolutely massive, and he's going to really get the message out. And Eastern Europe and Western Europe are going to vote for that, I think. It's a classic act. Not my thing, though, but it is very, very good.
Yeah, you have Bosnia. We cannot forget. I just think now you cannot rule out Austria after her performance.
Absolutely. Look, for me, Austria has always been a favourite up to about 3 months. Well, 3 months ago, I think I've tipped it. And it's really coming out as being one of the dark horses of the contest because it is such a understated and stunning performance.
I have to really agree with you there, Austria. When I came here, I thought I would have put Austria as borderline. But having seen the two rehearsals, it's like, wow, she's been faultless every time.
And as she's going around the parties, I think she's endearing herself to the fans and the media as well, which of course helps get the word out, and people want to vote for a song that they think is going to win. We can't discount that sort of mentally. It's like, you know, if everybody's saying the Austrian song is really good, that's just as helpful as running later in the running order. She's going out, she read Hallelujah at the Macedonian party, she did her own little melody yesterday at the OGAE party in the Euro Club, and she's really just making sure that everybody loves her.
Yeah, I mean, what she did in the Euro Club last night was fabulous. And I was standing next to a couple of Irish guys who don't particularly like the Austria song. So they decided this was their toilet break during the fan party, only to come running, flailing back because she started off with What's Another Year? And it was like, ah!
It's interesting that almost every medley is including something from Johnny Logan.
Well, he's been around long enough for that to happen.
Hear rumours that he is going to be here in some capacity?
Yeah, the rumour is we're going to have more former winners around than we ever had before. Last year at one point we had Johnny Logan was in the building and Liz Assia and Alexander Rybak did the press conference.
Well, that's mainly because Liz Assia died 7 years ago. We just haven't told her yet.
Animatronics.
But Logan's going to be about... Rybak is coming in with the Norwegian delegation as a inverted commas, journalist.
So he's going to be having another pillow fight with Lena then?
So as a PR stunt. Liz Assey is going to be around, and Lena's around, and Dana International's around. So there will be sort of five of them.
Viva la divas.
Well, could you imagine that press conference?
Well, I don't think Dana International would turn up. And speaking of press conferences, there's another five today that are going to be very, very interesting, because today's the day we have the first tech rehearsals for the big five. Obviously, host countries Germany, Britain, France, and Spain are back in, and Italy are going to be joining them for whatever reason to help them join in. Luke, just talk us through briefly why we think Italy's been put into the big five. A lot of it's probably to do with cost, isn't it?
It is. Your contributions to the European Broadcasting Union as a whole and to Eurovision are based on your population and your GDP. So, for example, Ireland last year, their participation fee was €60,000. The UK's was £200,000.
£278,000.
Yeah, that's the difference. Right, countries like Moldova, Bosnia pay somewhere around €7,000 because it's just so small. So if you put the big five, if there wasn't a big five, but they were paying almost four times the participation fee, there is no way they could justify that to the licence fee payers to then not qualify.
Which, of course, is the reason it happened, because there was the year where the juries judged behind closed doors and Germany didn't get through.
Yeah, that was the one year Germany hasn't. Was it
96?
It was. The one year Germany hasn't had a song in the final.
And they had a song, it was ready to go, it didn't happen. And from that point forward, it's big four.
Yeah.
And now Italy's come back and Italy's contributions and maybe perhaps a sweetener as well said big five.
Yeah, I mean, the real question mark here is the issue of Spain, because Spain are not in the EBU's good books. The thing they did a couple of years ago where they wanted to swap semis for the tennis, and then when they did swap semis, they didn't run it live. They showed it on tape delay, used the jury votes to carry on showing the tennis. This year they're showing both semis for the first time, which I think we're all led to believe is the EBU slapping them and saying, right, this is your punishment, you now have to show the other semi.
Yeah.
But there has been the rumour around for a while that actually within the next couple of years, Russia's EBU contributions will overtake that of Spain.
Interesting.
But I'm not sure you could ever justify Russia being in a big six for political reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can't go to the stage where, I mean, previously at some point I think we had that, you know, 15 would be automatically through and it's the top 10. Yeah. There was the relegation issue, so the best 10 from the last 15 would get through.
Yeah, the issue with Spain, though, is a funny one. Most of their fans would like them to be stripped of their Big Five status because they think that would force TVE either to take it seriously or to give it up and give it to another Spanish broadcaster that would. So if you actually ask the Spanish fans, they all want to lose their status.
Yeah, and
I was going to say, I think probably that's preferable for the EBU to scrap the idea of Big Six in order to make sure that Russia did not join that club, I would have thought.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, Germany's participation in this fee this year didn't happen because they host instead.
Yeah, that's the other reason of getting Italy in a Big Five, is that they pay Italy's fee. So next year, the EBU is almost €300,000 up from what they would have been without Italy. Now, either that means they can take everybody else's fee down pro rata, can they entice new countries back and say, well, actually, you don't pay a fee this year because we can cover it.
Or we can give you two for three.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So it will be interesting to see how they play that.
That doesn't sound like Boots.
Boots, a shop that's never sold a pair of boots in its entire existence. But anyway, let's go away from Big Five and the financial stuff. Let's go on to the Big Five and the performances today. There's every chance we could see the winner in this mix, Charlene, isn't there?
I do think we will see a potential winner in here today. So, I mean, we've got the UK and we've got France. There's a lot of expectation there, and obviously the betting odds are showing that because France is currently the favourite, and then you've got the United Kingdom who are coming second.
Can we discount Germany? I mean, it's a technical song. It's the difficult second album. You know, are there enough Twin Peaks fans watching Eurovision that can actually vote for it?
I think Germany are discounting Germany, aren't they?
I think somebody said a quiet word, because I think if they'd sent Push Forward, they would be in a far stronger place for winning than Taken by a Stranger. Apart from the fact that Paul Jordan's not here, so we don't have the jokes about Taken by a Stranger. And Elaine, I do not want you substituting in any of Paul's pre-written jokes, okay? Oh, he's all upset now. Lawyers are still happy. But there's every chance. I mean, as I said in Jukebox Jury earlier today, you know, I couldn't get a read on Lena last year, so it's impossible for me to say, have Germany sent in a My Lovely Horse in sheep's clothing? or is this a genuine contender? John, let's take your thoughts on that.
Personally, I think it could be a genuine contender. You know, three of the big five have put in really credible efforts this year, as far as I'm concerned. The other two, who knows? But I think UK, France, Germany could all be in with a chance.
I think Italy is taking it seriously. Yeah, from what I've seen, I think that the actor that they've got, albeit not of a European genre, which is quite clear, they've kind of lost touch since 97. But I do actually think that Italy are trying very, very hard with this.
Yeah, I mean, Germany, my problem with it is I just think it will weird too many people out. Too many people will look at it and just go, eh? And that would be a plum draw for Jedward. If they can get drawn after Lena, that you just have this very peculiar... Because obviously we'll see how the Germans stage it today. But
Satellite still looked a little bit weird last year as well.
It looks more sort of acceptable. You know, it's more middle of the road. This is very much, do you like it or don't you? And do you understand what the lyrics mean?
Yeah, well... Luckily, I did understand some of the lyrics, and it came in very helpful to me yesterday, having swung on my chair in the press centre and embarrassingly buckled it beyond repair.
Just a minute. We're going from a serious discussion on who could win out the Big Five to you breaking a chair, yeah?
Yeah, because...
That's live podcasting for you folks.
But of course, I then had to go up to one of our lovely assistants and say, hey, mind if I take this chair? But the only use I can ever see the German song coming to me, I really, really don't like it.
Sorry, it came so out of left field, I didn't pick it up for me. That's an impressive pun for this early in the morning. Congratulations. Pun badge awarded.
Yeah!
Now, tell us what you think about the song.
I just don't get it. I've done Jukebox Juries with you before. Didn't really get Satellite last year. I don't think I really get Lena, to be honest. It just... And you know that sometimes when you just get something in your head that annoys you. So it wouldn't matter what she sang, to be honest. I'm not making any friends in Germany here, obviously. But it just bypasses me, to be honest.
Okay, so what about France then? Because France is... Okay, let's hand the microphone over to somebody else for a minute or two. And Elaine will get herself together. France is certainly putting in a different type of music. Popper is not something we've seen before. We don't have that much of historical precedence to go on, although Luke will probably bring up Bonaparte when we switch the microphone over to him. Will the audiences go for it? Do we know what the demographic of the audience is that can vote for a French song like this?
I'm not entirely sure France do, because, of course, they change the genre every single year through internal selection as well. But I absolutely love the fact that the French do that. Very, very disparate acts in every year. They clearly are trying to get themselves out there amongst the different genre, if you like, of... the different types of people out there with different audiences. I think that as far as France is concerned, this year this is clearly their strongest. I've heard along the rumour mills that they're actually even planning next year's contest off the back of this. I think they're going to do very, very well. Just not entirely sure that the audience perhaps that they're looking for may be actually even watching the show.
I'm with you there, Stephen. I really love the French song. It's not going to win because I put money on it.
John, who else did you put money on?
I couldn't possibly comment.
Just France then.
Who do you want me to put money on? Who do you want not to win?
Lithuania, Belgium.
Maybe.
Back to France.
Yeah, France, absolutely love it. Very classy. Again, they have to be commended for giving something different a go each year. You know, in the past we've had a bit of reggae, we've had a bit of off-the-wall stuff from Sebastian Teller, whose song ended up in a car commercial, I think.
And, of course, this year's car commercial winner belongs to...
Jedward,
who are doing got a £1 million sponsor. Well, their management company got €1 million for Hyundai.
Hyundai in Malaysia.
Yeah, and how much we got for that mention?
No.
Nothing.
What about Malaysia? Truly Asia.
Nope, bank account still reads zero. There we go. So France is going to be an interesting one. It's really one that we have to see at rehearsals. To some extent, the same has to be said for the United Kingdom in blue. Aging reformed boy band, up on stage, lots of dry ice, a little bit of pyrotechnics. It could go very well, or it could go Spinal Tap, couldn't it?
oh yeah, I think they're under no illusions that this is their career here. This is the final nail going in, or the three other nails coming out the blue coffin. I, obviously being slightly biased here, I'm hoping we go in and watch this rehearsal today and everyone comes back and goes, wow, game changer, you know, best voting since 1988 kind of thing.
Yeah, when I watched the BBC documentary on Blue, what I was really, really impressed with was how serious the boys were taking it. I mean, we know out in, I think it was Malta, the performance that they gave, although not of this song, wasn't great. They didn't hide, we know technical things went wrong. They didn't come out and blame that. They came out and said,
We're out of practice.
We didn't prepare that. And they showed that on screen. They didn't hide away from it. And I think they know exactly what they've got themselves into. And I don't think they would have done it if they didn't think that they could win this. And I think they definitely have a chance. And there is a really, really good vibe around it. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm quite excited about it for once. You know that we'll always back a UK entry, you know, as much as we can. But there is a genuine excitement around this song.
I mean, bless his heart, and he did his best, but we never had this feeling with Josh. And to a certain extent, I don't think we had this buzz of excitement that we had with Jade, and certainly not with Andy Abraham either.
No, definitely not. There's nobody sitting here going, oh, bless Blue, aren't they doing a great job? That was the only sort of positive things you could say about Josh. He was lovely. He was fabulous. But, you know, this time it's about the song. It's about all the things that go with it. And yeah, I'm genuinely excited but nervous at the same time.
It is going to be interesting. I think the best thing, to be honest, the best thing for the contest is, I think if we come out of France and go, yes, and then we come out of the United Kingdom and go, yes, and then we go, you know, it's just as good as some of the other ones. You know, it's just as good as Russia. It's just as good as Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's just as good as Turkey. I don't think it's possible, and we'll do this as a final question, just briefly around all the panel. Do we think it's possible that today we can see the song that's going to pull ahead of the pack, or it's just going to be, we're just going to put ourselves into contention for consideration with everybody? Luke?
I think if Europe gets France, it's going to win quite comfortably. If the audience is there and everyone just goes, yes, it will win quite comfortably because of how different it is.
But that means we can't see today, really, then.
We can't see today, but I think if we all come out of the French rehearsal and go, yes, I mean, if there's an across-the-board consensus, we are quite a diverse group, apart from being Eurovision fans, different backgrounds, etc. If we all come back and go, yes, I think that's a reasonably good indication of what's going to happen on Saturday.
I'm just a little bit worried, though, about post-contest, how France's song is going to become commercial. I mean, it isn't... My worry is that it's going to set back the European audiences, particularly in the UK, back in their opinion about how old-fashioned the actual contest is. Although we all know that it is very different, it is very radical for France to be entering this track. Is it something that the UK then can pick up and go, well, that's the type of song that we need to be putting in?
So the fact you're projecting things that we could see France come up today and go and put a flag down?
Absolutely right. I think they've got a very, very, very good chance of winning. I just worry about the ramifications across Europe that may happen.
I would love to see a tussle towards the end between France and the UK. Because their styles are so completely different, they're probably going to attract completely different demographics.
And then a little plucky Ireland in third place. Plucky Ireland. Don't forget us. Don't forget us. Jed would kind of do that token run forward with their hands out going, "Way, trophy!" Yeah.
It'll be just like those contests of old that we all know and love.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've managed to keep Elaine quiet. So at that point, I'm going to go, this is probably a good point to do that. Seriously, though, Elaine, do you think we can see someone step up and go, this is our contest?
I hope so. I really hope so. I always find the big four or big five first rehearsals quite a difficult one to judge, because you're seeing them on the same day that you're seeing other countries' second rehearsals, which are generally, you know, the finished article, they're in the costumes, the lighting spot on.
As we said with Dino Merlin, the second rehearsal is usually the one where you...
So, yeah, so you've kind of already got that in your head. So if we did see today, if we did come out going, wow, from a first rehearsal, then yeah, I think, you know, we could see a winner.
And let's just remember quickly, whoever, France or the UK, they've only got to get this right twice.
Yep.
They've only got to get it right on Friday night and Saturday night. Tonight and tomorrow, in effect, could be the worst rehearsals they've ever done. if they pull it off on the night,
because they don't have to go through the semi-finals, as we've already discussed.
And of course, though, the typical Eurovision way is that they will be slated, and it'll be a disaster, and we won't even get through. We won't even get to the quality that we're expecting in order to win. So I'm worried about, of course, people jumping on the bandwagon and saying that we've done really, really badly.
So there we go, possible game changers, but there's another option as well, and that's the press conference today, Charlene, isn't it?
Could be a huge game changer for them. Look, they may not go out and give a great performance in the first rehearsal, and by all means, you know, they don't need to, but in a press conference, they can charm the whole entire media, like Ireland did the other day.
And like Iceland yesterday as well. I think those have been the two sort of key, this is how you do a press conference at Eurovision. They just... And if the media starts writing about you, it's worth another 5 or 10 points in the semi-finals, because you'll get the mentions on the news, you might get the invites into the breakfast chat shows. You can be sure that Jedward and all the sort of, you know, magazine-style, fast-moving breakfast shows around Europe, Thursday, Friday morning, they're going to be there. We want to be in the semi-final. We won yesterday. We're going for the final on Saturday. There's points there to be won, advertising themselves to the rest of Europe. And, of course, it helps their career as well.
Absolutely. We'll get them talking in a positive manner about them.
And speaking of talking in a positive manner, it's unlikely we're going to get our panel to do any more on that. Time is running short. So what you need to do now is say thank you to Stephen, thank you to Elaine, thank you to Luke, and thank you to John as well. Thank you, Charlene, as well, for keeping up for me as always.
Thank you very much.
You'll find more from us back at the Eurovision Insight website, www.escinsight.com. And Charlene, you've missed doing the call, haven't you?
I have.
Go on then.
It's the electric guitars.